साहब, मेरा सिर्फ कहना यह है, लद्दाख इज अ हाइपर सेंसिटिव स्टेट, हाइपर सेंसिटिव एरिया है, चीन का खतरा मंडरा रहा है सबसे ज्यादा वहां लद्दाख पे,
राइट right.
और ऐसे में अगर इतनी अनहैपीनेस लद्दाख के लोगों में हो कि वो फास्टिंग के ऊपर आ गए हैं, और वो सोनम वांगचुक जैसे, वो के मतलब कोई फटीचर नहीं है, सड़क छाप नहीं है, गुंडा जो कि बोलना शुरू किया है पॉपुलैरिटी के लिए, वो बड़ा जाना एजुकेशनिस्ट है, बहुत ही रिस्पेक्टेड सिटीजन है भारतवर्ष का, तो अगर वो ऐसा कह रहा है तो हमको तो तवज्जो देनी पड़ेगी, उसको ब्लैंक आउट की न्यूज से ही ब्लैंक आउट कर दें, आई एम सॉरी दैट इज नॉट द वे टू गो, व्हाट इज द प्रॉब्लम, लेट अस एड्रेस इट, लेट अस फेस इट बिफोर द चाइनीज स्टार्ट टेकिंग एडवांटेज,
एग्जैक्टली, एंड इट कैन टर्न इनटू अ नेशनल सिक्योरिटी थ्रेट।
दे रहे तो अभी किस तरह का आप बता सकते हैं, क्योंकि आप भी आर्मी में थे तो बहुत वाकया आपको पता होगा कि कैसे कंडीशन होते हैं बॉर्डर पे, किस तरह के आर्ग्यूमेंट्स रहते हैं, तो अभी क्या लगता है कि अभी भी जो जमीन जो अभी बताया जाता है कि एक इंच भी जो है चीन के पास नहीं है, तो आप अभी बता सकते हैं कि कितना एरिया चला गया है, जैसे पॉइंट तो आपने बता दे, तो कितना टोटल एरिया कितना गया है भारत से?
अभी अभी मैंने आप लोग को बताया कि 7 डेज का हमारा पेट्रोलिंग बोन है, अभी आप लोग अंदाजा लगा सकते हैं, उसमें मेरा ख्याल से 20 से 30 किलोमीटर शायद इतना ही, अभी वहाँ पे किलोमीटर तो लगा नहीं है, पहाड़ इतना उबड़ खबड़ में चढ़ते जाना, नाला पार करके ऐसे जाना होता है, इस किलोमीटर एग्जैक्ट नहीं बता सकता, अंदाजा था एक हफ्ता का रोड को शायद 20 से 30 किलोमीटर अंदर गया, 100% वो मैं बिल्कुल फेक के साथ बोल रहा हूँ, क्योंकि मैं खुद जाके आया हूँ अभी।
Namaste, Suswagatam and welcome, another Sunday and we are back with Words of Wisdom Gyan Ganga on our Virat Hindustan Sangam social media channels, and today is a very important day. Today is the 14th of April and we pay tributes to Dr. Baba Saheb Ambedkar, Bharat Ratna Dr. Baba Saheb Ambedkar on his birthday. He was instrumental in presenting to us with his hard work. There were other people in the Constituent Assembly, but due to his hard work, he presented a beautiful Constitution of India, which we are all governed. So with these words, we today start our Gyan Ganga, and we have a very interesting program or discussion coming up. And today's topic is reality about the border situation in Ladakh. And for the next 45 minutes to an hour, Dr. Subramaniam Swami and Mr. Sonam Wangchuk will be discussing this topic. And before I ask Dr. Swami or Mr. Sonam Wangchuk to talk, I will give you a brief introduction of our special guest today, Mr. Sonam Wangchuk. He is an engineer, innovator and education reformist from Ladakh. He gained international recognition for his work in developing alternative education models, particularly the creation of the Ice Stupa artificial glacier project to address the water scarcity in his region of Ladakh. Wangchuk is also known for founding the Students Educational and Cultural Movement of Ladakh, SECMOL, SECMOL, which focuses on improving the educational system in Ladakh. He was awarded the Rolex Award for Enterprise in 2016 for his innovative solution to environmental and social challenges. Wangchuk continues to advocate for sustainable development and education reforms in the Himalayan region. Although a mechanical engineer by education, he has been mostly working in the field of education reforms for more than 27 years. In 1988, just after he finished his engineering studies, he founded what I mentioned earlier, the SECMOL, which aims to bring reforms in the government school system in Ladakh. In 1994, he was instrumental in the launch of Operation New Hope, a triangular collaboration of the government, village communities, and the civil society to bring reforms in the government school system. The program involved formation of village education committees to take ownership of state schools, training of teachers in child-friendly ways, and rewriting and publicizing local textbook for Ladakh. As a result, the pass percentage in the 10th grade matriculation rose from earlier 5% pass to 55%, and 7 years it rose to 75%, which is now what is happening in the schools there. For students who fail in the state exams, he founded the SECMOL alternative school campus near Leh, a special school where the admission criteria is failure in exams and not grades. However, with the supportive and creative environment at school, the so-called failures have excelled in the chosen fields and risen to international acclaim as entrepreneurs, filmmakers, politicians, teachers, and so on. Mr. Vanchuk has been given numerous awards. I would just think about 9 or 10 of them, but he has won the Raman Magase Award in 2018. We are very happy to have him in our program today to share his views. And just recently, he undertook a 21 days fast for ecological in the Ladakh and Himalayan region. He had decided to launch the Pashmina March to go towards the border and other areas to show how China has encroached upon our border. But due to the over enthusiasm, or I would say the strong arm tactics used by the local government, he postponed his Pashmina March, and very soon I believe he is going to undertake a Padyatra to the border areas and where other industries beside the border area where the other industries are. With these words, it is over to Dr. Subramaniam Swamy to initiate today's discussion. Thank you.
Thank you, Jagdish. Ladakh is a historic place. It has a very, very long history. In fact, Ms. Gumpa, one of the Buddhist monks' place, in fact, is widely believed. It's not been confirmed by the people who should confirm it, but widely believes is a place where even Jesus Christ came to learn about Buddhism. A number of books have been written about it. So, and it's a beautiful flat land being ignored by all of us. Instead of going to Paris and London, we should be going to Ladakh. And certainly we will, after Sonam Ji has come and given the whole country a picture. And I congratulate him that he had, was bold enough to come up and speak and then even organize a Padyatra, but which I think probably he was prevented from doing so. But we in India now know him as an All India leader. We are looking forward to hearing more and more about Ladakh. We in the rest of India stand with Ladakh because we are emotionally connected to it. It's a religious place. It's a holy place. And therefore, the people are right on the frontier. They are protecting us. So therefore, rest of India, if they told the truth, brought the information brought to them, they were going to do so. The Indians will all, the length and breadth of India, will stand up in favor of the people of Ladakh. I'm hopeful very soon that you will have your own state with the chief minister and cabinet and so on. And I'm sure that after this elections, it will happen. And we will now also, some of us, will put more pressure now on the government to do it quickly after having interacted with Sonamji. Sonamji is can be in future called as the father of the new Ladakh, which has shown the whole world they can stand on their own. I have, before handing it over to him, I just like to ask him a question. That over the last 4 or 5 years, since during the tenure of Mr. Narendra Modi, we had received a report through other sources, not official sources, that 26 out of the 65 patrolling points in eastern Ladakh has been taken over by the Chinese. Now, we want to know, is the Chinese, see, the Chinese have already done quite a lot of takeover in Arunachal. But now, starting with the Aksai Chin, the Chinese have begun to nibble into Ladakh, and which is something that we cannot tolerate. So we want to know the correct position as to where the Chinese stand, and is the Indian government's policy is such that our military is able to effectively take a stand, or we have tied the hands of the Indian military so that they don't engage in a situation where the Chinese lose face and therefore there's a bigger war. Most of India is in favor of evicting the Chinese from Ladakh, and once we know the reality, I'm sure that there will be a big uproar in this country and may even affect the elections that are taking place. So over to Sonamji. We want to hear you on your perception, and also what we in the rest of India can do for you to advance your aims in achieving success for Ladakh. Over to you, Sonamji.
Thank you very much, Swamiji, thank you very much for being concerned about us in this corner. Many people don't. And while you're right, the loss of land in Ladakh is a matter of national importance. But for us in Ladakh, it is doubly important. It's not just Indian land lost to other countries, but it is also our indigenous nomadic herders who lose whatever their ancestral land is. You know, to many people, many leaders and many industrialists, the land here looks like barren land, wasteland. But actually, these are the pastures on which the Pashmina goats that produce the world's most precious fiber graze their animals. It doesn't look like green pasture lands for people from the plains, but for Ladakhi nomads, this is their livelihood. This is their fortune passed down by their ancestors. So they stand doubly lost. And while I was trying to avoid commenting on the border losses of land, etc., we are really upset now in Ladakh that not only are people losing their pasture land to the neighboring country, China. But on top of that, rather than, you know, sending their warm feelings for these people who lost their land, they are selling away or giving away more of pasture land to industries and corporations to build big projects. And then when we ask for safeguards, they promise. They win elections based on the promises, and then after 4 years of negotiations, say, get lost, we have nothing to give, you can go wherever you want. In a recent meeting, the Home Minister, Mr. Amit Shah, told our leaders in the last meeting, which failed finally on March 4th, last month, he said, we cannot give you safeguards against such loss of land to industries and so on under sixth schedule, and we cannot give you democracy. Even if Prime Minister writes, I will not give. That kind of language he used. So people in Ladakh are very upset that, you know, not only are we losing our land, we are losing any respect that we might have in these fora after being promised all this. So therefore, we are compelled to say that we are losing land, pasture land from south, from north, and instead of asking it back from China, we are left at the mercy of, you know, corporations. So therefore, I might share here that from the south of our eastern Ladakh, roughly 150 square kilometers are lost to these large projects of corporations. Around three times more will be taken away without consulting, without saying, taking their say in this, the herders. And then from the north, we don't know, we haven't known the exact square kilometers, but all the shepherds tell us that at least 15 to 20 kilometers is where they have to stop now. They're stopped by the military, or rather paramilitary border forces, from going or taking their animals grazing 15 to 20 kilometers before, sometimes even 30. So it's huge pasture lands that are gone. I've seen, Swamiji, you have also reported on this, about 4,056 kilometer squares. It could be that much or even more, because so much of pasture land, even our herders have seen. Then there is so much more land where herders may not get, which may be even bigger. So I've seen herders who have been my students who tell me that they were eyewitness to it when these troops came and, you know, our forces had to, our not really army, I would say our paramilitary forces had to retreat. And then very in a flash, the points where they used to have their posts were vacated and they were pushed back. This is eyewitnesses. Then we have, these are herders. I can share with you their statements. They have said in media also. There are soldiers, retired soldiers, who say, I was one of the soldiers there when they came and we lost land and now we are not able to go there. I mean, there was this soldier who said, we easily used to go up to finger 8. Now already at finger 4, they are stopped, and the herders are stopped even way before that, finger 2 or something. So all over our borders, all the herders will tell you that we used to go all the way up to those places, pointing fingers. They would show 10, 15 kilometers away where they used to have their camps and, you know, grazing land. One political leader told me that he had himself put a borewell pump some 5-10 years ago, and now that's all in Chinese control. So we have lost land, and I always make sure to say that it's not that our army is not capable of defending or taking it back. Actually, they are left paralyzed or tied their hands when our leaders say nothing has happened. So they can't do much when nothing has happened, right? So another thing, Swamiji, here I don't know if lay people would understand, but I would like to bring it to your knowledge. The reason why we have these slices of land going away, you know, so the what is called salami slicing, why does it seem to happen? I have my analysis. You might analyze it. I don't know. I haven't got it analyzed by other experts. But what I have observed, and what might be the reason for this losing of land every year a little bit, and then a few years ago, 2020 and so on, large chunks also. One of the big reasons is that at the extreme borders of LSE, the actual line of control, the zero border, it is not manned by Indian Army. Most of it is manned by paramilitary forces like ITBF, ITBP, and these are controlled not by the Defense Ministry, they are controlled by the Home Ministry. Yes. Now, the Home Ministry is a para-defense ministry that really is not as bothered about the borders. They are more bothered about what happens within the nation, the politics of, you know, bringing down that leader or that this leader. And I've seen myself, now I'm telling you from personal experience, I've seen officers of these paramilitary agencies that are controlled by the Home Ministry, they are misused. They are misused and they are not able to pay full attention to the border that they are supposed to safeguard. They are sent after people like me, you know, who the political leadership thinks is not in their favor now. So I have seen many rumors being spread on social media, cartoons of me as Chinese agent, as Soros finder, and all such things, which were coming to my friends from staff inside these paramilitary forces that are supposed to defend our borders. Now, these forces that are supposed to defend the borders without army, they are supposed to, you know, inform the rest of the defense system about any such infringement or incursion. They are misused after people like me and other maybe leaders within the country to break governments or whatever. They do a very poor job of defending the real line of control. And I'm not saying this perhaps happens with this Home Ministry, the current Home Ministry. I'm sure this has happened with the previous governments also, where these agencies are misused to bring down rival political leaders or other activists. They are not able to pay attention to the real border. So what happens is that they do a very half-hearted job out there at the border. And in the winters, they don't even defend the borders. They just come back kilometers and kilometers and have an easier time because they are not under Ministry of Defense, whose sole purpose is to defend. They are under this para quasi-military thing where they are as much supposed to defend the border as also, you know, spy or spread rumors about political opponents, what they think are political. I'm in no way opponent. I'm trying to bring truths about the borders, but now I'm being called Deshdrohi and all those things. And much of this rumor is coming from some of these agencies. I have proof of how some of these highly placed officers have been busy spreading write-ups, spreading posters, spreading cartoons. I think they're being used by political parties as their back office to make cartoons and things when no civilians do, then they are used. I can give you proof of what all was spread by these agencies. So when these agencies are used for that, they do a very poor job of defending. And during the winter time, when they are thin on the border, that's when the Chinese troops inch towards us because nobody is manning those borders. And then when spring comes, after the winter, when spring comes and these people wake up, they see Chinese posts there. Now, they are not in a position to push them because they are already there for months. This is what happened with Kargil war also, if you remember. Our people had backed out during the winter and springtime, they find Pakistani forces entrenched there. Same thing has been happening on the Chinese or Tibetan border in Ladakh over years. Every spring they are, you know, inching inwards because of the laxity of these paramilitary ones. Now, the solution, therefore, I think is either these forces should be handed over to Defense Ministry so that their role is clear. They're not after internal rivalries. They're to defend the borders. Maybe our military doesn't want to have direct encounters, so therefore paramilitary first. But these paramilitaries should be fully dedicated to defend the borders, not, you know, as much work on internal opponents of the ruling government. So that's why I think every winter they come in by a few hundred meters to few kilometers, and in the last 5 years or so, by tens of kilometers. And they are then not able to go back to those positions where they are entrenched in strong bunkers. So this is the mechanism that I could understand. And until it is handed over to Defense Ministry, which is very capable of responding and defending, but because of this system, of different agencies working on the border. You know, you would be very surprised. I'm told that many times these agencies don't even share intelligence easily among themselves. So there's a lot of confusion. Each one has their own system, the paramilitary and the military. So that advantage is taken by the enemy country.
Sonamji, it's an extremely important point you have made. And I certainly, as a first step, I will write a letter to the government and to the defense ministry to have the matter studied and take corrective steps. And you have done a great patriotic duty by telling us a matter which now we understand why we are not able to stop the Chinese. So on this issue, we are. I'm extremely happy. My colleagues, I'm sure, have other questions. So over to Jagdish. Anyone wants to ask any further questions on these matters and connected matters?
Jagdish, you're on mute.
Sonamji, first of all, on behalf of the fellow Indians, other parts of the country, we are grateful to you for having highlighted the issue in your 21 days fast, which you undertook. And you are also going to take the Pashmina March, but due to the various pressures, you had to postpone it. But first, we are grateful because many leaders may talk in public meeting that they are the real children of Bharat Mata, but we know people like you are the real children of Bharat Mata because you are drawing the attention of the nation to what nibbling is taking place on our borders. And you are right, this type of attitude in the last few years about branding anybody as a Chinese agent and a Deshdrohi is a new present pastime for some of these vested forces. They don't mind selling their motherland, but they want to be in power. This is what we have come to. I'm also a BJP worker, but I don't will not compromise for the sake of my motherland and these precious borders. We are we have been accusing Nehru of having slept on and in the Indochini bye-bye and all that we said, and we forgot about it. But we are perhaps doing the same thing without attributing anything to any political party. But I'm saying what you are doing is a wonderful thing. But I want to ask you one question. When has this issue of this border encroachments become more? Was it around the time of Galwan and thereafter? Or is it been there for many years? I just want to understand the gravity of the situation because our Prime Minister is saying koi aaya nahi, koi gaya nahi. In that context, I want to understand from you what is the exact situation.
So, as far as I know, it has been happening in thin slices over decades. As I said, every winter they would move in and there'll be nobody to defend. Our paramilitaries are away doing other things, other internal businesses. So every year they inch in. But I think after 2020, more than I think I'm told by people who live there and people who have served in the army from Ladakh, that after 2020 encounters, it has gone not just in slices, but in big chunks, kind of butchered in kilometers now. So that has happened very recent times. But yes, the most unfortunate part was that we just accepted to, you know, say that nothing happened, which was a very sad gesture, as if to, you know, save our dignity by saying we were not beaten at all, as you were beaten, Guske. So that our army should have been allowed to do their job rather than saying nothing has happened. It was for them to say, because, you know, there's no reason for our herders to say that where will we take our animals now to graze? Because if nothing has happened, then they should be able to go to the points where they used to go. And it was exactly this reason we were irked by the fact that not only are they accepting that their pastures were lost, not only were they not promising any compensation like it happens in many places, if there is an unnatural loss, the government compensates. Rather than that, they were being deprived of more land for corporates and plants and industries. So that's why now people are coming out and saying, yes, we have lost on both sides. Otherwise, as good patriotic citizens, Ladakhi people didn't want to say anything that was different from what the leaders say, true or not. But now, when they are losing from both ends, they are compelled to say that our land is not safe, not only from the neighbor, but also from our own side. And yeah, that's why they are openly saying that we are eyewitness. So we wanted to go with these eyewitnesses who had seen the loss happening in those days, in 2020 and so on. But strangely or not so strangely, they made such a big scene of security with all kinds of restrictions, with a war-like zone made out of lake, that they made it very difficult for us to go. We could have still gone, but the chances of violence and, you know, unfortunate incidents was very high. So because we could see that their overreaction itself was a good answer to our question, we said we would withdraw for now. But now we are saying that if 10,000 people moving to the borders was a scary or not a very, you know, peaceful looking gesture, we will go in much smaller numbers, maybe 15, 20, and walking. So we are planning to do that. And we'll first go to the places where corporations have taken land. I'm sure that they have no objection because it is well within the borders. And it is Indian land and Indian citizens are walking. And we hope that after that, they should not have any problems. If nothing has happened, if an inch has not changed, then they should not have problems for us to go further. But if they stop us, we'll stop. But then the gesture will have a big meaning that things are not the same as before and they cannot show it to the nation. So with that, we hope to do this Padyatra of March very soon.
Okay. Sorry, I will have to ask a question before my friends come in. One of our viewers wants to know, when is this proposed Padyatra you will be undertaking? Any timeline you have decided so that awareness can be created in other parts of India?
Yeah, the final will be announced tomorrow, but most probably in the next 3-4 days, we should be walking. So that walk itself will take 10 to 12 days. So there's time still. The beginning may be 17th or 18th April or so, but then it will go on for at least 10 days.
Where will you start from? Where will you start from the
Most probably Upshi. From Leh to Upshi is a highway, a road. So we might start at Upshi and then go the Taklangla towards the border of Himachal Pradesh and Ladakh, where these so huge plants are coming, where you know tens of thousands of acres are going away. And that would take some 4-5 days to reach there. And after that, further to the borders, depending on whether they have anything to hide or not, we'll be able to go or not.
Sonamji, 17th April, incidentally, is Ram Navami. So you start on that day, you'll get whatever you want to get.
Wonderful.
So quickly, before we, Arvindji, aap jo Hindi mein jo puchna chahte hain, uske pehle ek sawal hai. Sonam ji ne kaha ki Amit Shah ne aaya tha, jo aur I think he told the people there assembled, saying that, you know, do not fight this. It is going to happen whether you fight or not. Dr. Swami, this level of arrogance, Dr. Swami, and under what authority can the government do this when there is these lands are technically their indigenous lands? right? I mean, the people there have more rights than what others have. What is your legal take on this, Dr. Swami, this kind of authoritative takeover?
No, no, the question basically is being lack of knowledge. I mean, even I only have come to learn after hearing about Sonamji and what he was saying, then only it woke me up. I think I've already, a RTI, which is now under, which was not answered at three levels of the government. And finally, the RTI authorities have given a very strong warning. And if they don't by the coming Monday, then I get a chance to make the government of India's the authority which is supposed to overlook RTIs to actually censure the officials. And the officials are personally telling me we want to give, but we are told not to give because they think that I will make a propaganda of it. What do you mean by propaganda of it? If the country's land is being taken away, if the jobs are being taken away, if you don't speak up for that, why am I a politician at all? So therefore, I think it is because of Sonamji's public statements that we have all been awakened. Now I'm getting inquiries from all over the country. What can we do about it? How we can help? So the process of we will all sit down and work out what we in Delhi or in the rest of India do to ensure that Sonamji is fully protected, so fully supported, and becomes fully successful.
Okay, Dr. Swami.
Sir, just a minute. My question to this question that Ramesh ji asked is, we were promised in two elections that we will be covered under the sixth schedule. In two elections, it was the top of the manifesto, and that's why people voted to, once an MP was elected, next a government was formed in the Hill Council. And then after 5 years of discussions, to be told that I will not do it, even if the prime ministers ask me to do it. Yeah, it's their promise of the manifesto based on which they won and they formed governments. How right is it legally to say, we'll not give go whatever you can do too?
Okay, if there's anything in writing, please send it to us of this matter that you have said. If there's any... the statement, earlier statement, which has come in the newspaper, some cutting, and we will definitely take it up. We know how to handle this and bring the country to, I mean, the government to shame on this matter.
Arvind ji, aap kuch puchna chahte hain?
Swanam ji, main aapse sawal Hindi mein puchunga, kyunki hamare darshak Hindi bhi samajhte hain aur Hindi bolne wale darshak bhi bahut hain aur unki bahut ruchi hai कि हमारे सीमा पर भारत चीन सीमा पर खासतौर से लद्दाख में क्या हो रहा है ये वो जानना चाहते हैं। आपकी खबरें पूरे देश में जा रही हैं लेकिन हम आपके मुंह से सुनना चाहते हैं। पिछले 5 साल पहले, लगभग 4.5 साल पहले, जब धारा 370 हटाया गया था, तब जम्मू कश्मीर लद्दाख इनका सबका रीऑर्गेनाइजेशन किया गया था और उसका उद्देश्य ये था कि जम्मू क्षेत्र भी, श्रीनगर क्षेत्र भी और लद्दाख भी, तीनों को ऑटोनॉमी भी मिले, तीनों अपना पूरा तरह विकास कर सकें और एक राजनीतिक इस्टेब्लिशमेंट भी वहां पर बन सके। पिछले 4.5 सालों में ये प्रॉमिस किया गया था कि वहां चुनाव होंगे, किसी भी तरह के चुनाव अभी तक वहां नहीं हो पाए हैं। तो हम जानना चाहते हैं, हमारे दर्शक भी इसमें रुचि रखते हैं कि धारा 370 हटाने के बाद लद्दाख के क्षेत्र में विशेषतर लोगों का, आम लोगों का जीवन किस प्रकार का है, पहली बात। और दूसरी बात कि जो चीन के घुसपैठ से जो आम जीवन पर असर पड़ा है, आपने अभी बताया कि लोगों के रोजगार छिन गए हैं, लोगों को काम नहीं मिल रहा है, पश्मीना जो काम करते हैं उनके लिए रोजी रोटी का सवाल हो गया है, तो आम जीवन किस तरह प्रभावित हुआ है और अगर चुनाव होंगे तो उससे क्या अच्छा होगा?
तो सबसे पहले तो जो धारा 370 था, लद्दाख के लोग उसे एक रुकावट की तरह देखते थे क्योंकि लद्दाख पिछले 70 सालों से एक अलग पहचान की मांग कर रहा है, एक यूनियन टेरिटरी, बट ए यूनियन टेरिटरी विद लेजिस्लेटिव असेंबली जिसमें आपको लोकतांत्रिक अधिकार हो, ऐसा यूनियन टेरिटरी की वो मांग करते आए हैं। और हमें हर बार बताया गया कि ये 370 जब तक है आपको नहीं मिल सकता है, क्योंकि इसमें स्टेट के असेंबली में पास होना पड़ता है और स्टेट की असेंबली कभी पास नहीं करेगी। तो हमारा उससे बहुत समस्या थी। जब धारा 370 हटाया गया, कश्मीर में अलग सेंटिमेंट्स होंगे मगर लद्दाख में बहुत खुशी थी ज्यादातर लोगों में कि अब ये रुकावट हटी है तो हमें जरूर एक नई पहचान, क्योंकि आप लोगों को मालूम होगा लद्दाख पहले एक इंडिपेंडेंट किंगडम हुआ करता था जैसे भूटान है, और वो भारत में जब मिले तो विलय हुआ तो बहुत खुश थे, क्योंकि भारत को सदा से लद्दाख बहुत ही श्रद्धा से देखता आया है, मगर वो नहीं चाहते थे कि वो किसी कश्मीर जम्मू राज्य का एक जिला बन के रह जाए। वो अपनी पहचान कम से कम एक राजा के राज्य नहीं तो एक भारत के राज्य की तरह चाहते थे। तो इस तरह से अलग होते समय सबने ये सोचा कि ये हमारी भलाई के लिए किया गया है, मगर आज थोड़ा लोगों को ये लग रहा है कि शायद ये हमारे भलाई के लिए क्या था भी, क्योंकि भलाई तो कुछ हुआ नहीं। शायद जम्मू कश्मीर के लिए कोई डिजाइन था तो उसमें हमारा भी अलग कर दिया गया, क्योंकि हाँ हुआ इसलिए नहीं क्योंकि लोग सोच रहे थे कि अब हमें अलग अगर भलाई के वजह से करते हैं तो हमें कुछ अधिकार भी देते, लोकतंत्र भी देते, अपने नेता चुनने का, अपने सरकार बनाने का, अपने मंशा अनुसार विकास करने का, ऐसा कुछ भी नहीं हुआ है। और पिछले 4-4.5 सालों में तो मतलब 2-3 साल के लिए आने वाले जो अधिकारी हैं, ब्यूरोक्रेट्स हैं, उनका राज चला है। तो ऐसे में मैं ये कहता हूँ कि अच्छे से अच्छे लोग भी आए तो गलतियां कर बैठेंगे, क्योंकि लद्दाख को वो समझते नहीं है। यहाँ के लोगों के लिए मुश्किल होता है लद्दाख को समझना, तो कोई लखनऊ से आए, चंडीगढ़ से आए, कोई बुराई नहीं है लखनऊ से आना, मगर उनके लिए ये चांद जैसी जमीन, मंगल जैसी जमीन को कैसे मैनेज करें नहीं समझ सकते हैं। और अच्छे से अच्छे लोग गलती करेंगे और बुरे लोग तो बेच भी डालेंगे, क्योंकि उसके बाद उन्हें शक्ल दिखाने की जरूरत नहीं है। तो इसलिए हम कहते हैं कि यहाँ के लोग तो यहीं रहेंगे, पीढ़ियों तक यहीं रहेंगे, वो इसका उतना बुरा कभी नहीं करेंगे, क्योंकि उनको लोगों के साथ रहना है, उनके बच्चों को, उनके पुरखों को यहाँ की जमीन और पानी और हवा के साथ रहना है, तो उन्हें ही सौंपना चाहिए इसका संचालन। मगर ऐसा किया नहीं गया। अभी हमें बता रहे हैं ना आपको लोकतंत्र देंगे ना आपको संरक्षण देंगे, जो करना है करिए। तो हम तो यही कहते हैं अब हम आंदोलन ही कर सकते हैं, हमारे साथ भारत की जनता आएगी, क्योंकि हम भारत के साथ हरेक जंग में रहे हैं। तो अब भारत की बारी है कि यहाँ के लोगों की संरक्षण का ध्यान रखें। हमारे तो महिलाओं ने, पुरुषों ने, बच्चों ने भारत की रक्षा का ध्यान रखा हर एक जंग में, चाहे 48 का हो, 62 का हो, 65 का हो, 71 72 का हो, या 99 का हो, या 2020 का हो, जब ये ब्लैक टॉप वगैरह कैप्चर कर रहे थे तो छिशूल की महिलाएं पुरुष पानी ले जा रहे थे, उनके लिए गोबर ले जा रहे थे जलाने के लिए, जब उनके पास जलाने को कुछ नहीं था सैनिकों के पास। तो ऐसे में देश कैसे हमारी चिंता ना करे, पूरा हमें उम्मीद था और उम्मीद खरा भी उतर रहा है। आज देश का हर नागरिक लगभग ये कह रहा है कि लद्दाख के साथ अन्याय हो रहा है, अगर वचन दिया गया तो फिर वचन पूरा भी करना चाहिए और कुछ ज्यादा ना करे। वैसे तो ज्यादा करना चाहिए क्योंकि लद्दाख के लोगों ने ज्यादा झेला है, दिल्ली के लोगों ने कुछ नहीं झेला किसी भी जंग में, बंबई के लोगों ने कुछ भी नहीं झेला, बल्कि जब टैक्स वैक्स देना होता है तो उसकी भी चोरी करते हैं। यहाँ के लोगों ने बहुत झेला है। तो हम कहते हैं कि देश की सेवा, देश की भक्ति देखनी है तो लद्दाख में आके देखिए। और मैं हमेशा कहता हूँ कि मुझे डर ये नहीं है कि अगर आप दिल्ली से लद्दाख के साथ ऐसा बर्ताव करेंगे तो लद्दाख के लोगों का देश से मन उब जाएगा या वो देशद्रोही बन जाएंगे। मुझे डर ये है कि वो दिल्ली के लोगों के जैसे बन जाएंगे, जो देश की परवाह नहीं करते, न सीमा की, न रक्षा की, अपना पैसा बनाते हैं और बचाते हैं और टैक्स तक नहीं देते। तो लद्दाख के लोग भी कहीं उधर शहरों के जैसे ना बन जाएं। अच्छे लोग भी हैं शहरों में, मगर ज्यादातर मैंने ये देखा है कैसे देश को ना दें और कैसे खुद का बनाएं, इसी में लगे रहते हैं। यहाँ के लोग भी ऐसे करें तो फिर सेना के लिए बहुत मुश्किल होगी, मगर लगता है अभी के सरकार को सेना की भी चिंता नहीं है, क्योंकि वो राष्ट्रीय सुरक्षा का बिल्कुल चिंता नहीं कर रहे हैं। ऐसा सोच रहे हैं कि अगर चीन के साथ कुछ हुआ तो ये सैनिकों का सरदर्द है कि लद्दाख के लोग साथ आते हैं कि नहीं आते हैं। हमें तो अपना अहम और अहंकार और या जो भी सौदा हो चुका है बड़े बड़े उद्योगों के साथ, उसको ऑनर करना है। उनके प्रति हम वफादार हैं, इन लोगों के प्रति वफादार नहीं है। ऐसा लग रहा है लद्दाख के लोगों की कि उनकी वफा शायद जो उद्योग जमीन यहाँ से शायद डील हो चुका हो, वरना किसी को नहीं समझ आता है कि वचन देने के बाद दो दो चुनावों में बहुत से सरकारी मिनट्स में हैं SC ST कमीशन के कि लद्दाख को 6वें शेड्यूल में संरक्षण दिया जाएगा, तो कैसे कोई इतना पलट सकता है। तो सिर्फ यही समझ आ रहा है कि शायद कोई बड़े डील हो चुके हैं जिसमें हम बिक चुके हैं, अब वो नहीं वापस उठ सकते हैं। तो हमारे पास सिर्फ आंदोलन है देश के लोगों के साथ मिलके उनको ये याद दिलाने का कि जो प्रेशर ये लॉबीज डाल रही हैं गवर्नमेंट पर, उतना ही प्रेशर हम भी डालें आवाज उठाकर, तो शायद वो न्यूट्रलाइज हो जाए और फिर सरकार एक अच्छा फैसला ले सके। इसीलिए हम यहाँ से शोर मचाना जरूरी समझते हैं, एक दायित्व तो समझते हैं कि ये शोर बराबर हो प्रेशर्स के, equal and opposite forces should come, then there is balance and government can take a balanced decision.
तो लद्दाख के लोगों ने जो कुर्बानियां दी हैं, लद्दाख के लोगों ने जो सहा है, भोगा है, उसके बदले में जो उनको अधिकार चाहिए वो अधिकार उनको नहीं दिए गए। शायद आपके लिए किसी ने कहा था कि हम आह भी भरते हैं तो हो जाते हैं बदनाम और वो कत्ल भी करते हैं तो चर्चा नहीं होता। मैं आपसे एक दूसरा सवाल पूछना चाहूंगा जो थोड़ा अलग हटके है। बॉलीवुड में एक पिक्चर बनी थी 3 Idiots, आमिर खान ने 3 Idiots बनाई थी, उसमें एक करेक्टर आपका था जो रियल करेक्टर था, आमिर खान ने रेंचो करके प्ले किया था और आपको उसमें दिखाया गया था यू आर एन इनोवेटर, यू आर एन एजुकेशन रिफॉर्मिस्ट। तो अभी जब नई शिक्षा नीति 2020 लागू हो गई है तो एज ए एजुकेशन रिफॉर्मर आपको कैसा लगता है कि नई शिक्षा नीति में पूरे देश में एक शिक्षा की सुधार की दृष्टि से क्या हो रहा है, क्या हो सकता है?
जी, मुझे तो खुशी है क्योंकि हम जो परिवर्तन की बात करते रहे हैं पिछले 20 सालों से कि ये कमियां हैं, ये बहुत ही ऊपर ऊपर से शब्दों में, किताबों में, थियोरी में है, अनुभव के स्तर पर नहीं है, एक्सपीरियंशियल नहीं है, वो सब लाई गई है नई शिक्षा नीति में, कुछ सीधे कुछ अलग तरह से इनडायरेक्टली उन सब का जगह वहां मिला है। सिर्फ डर है तो ये है कि इनका जमीन पर अनुवाद कैसा होगा, क्योंकि एक नीति में लिख देना सबसे आसान काम है मगर शिक्षकों की मानसिकता बदलना, अभिभावकों की मानसिकता बदलना कि ये जो हम डिग्री के पीछे भाग रहे हैं, एग्जाम में मार्क्स के पीछे भाग रहे हैं, उसके जगह पर व्यवहारिक ज्ञान और व्यवहारिक अनुभव जिससे कि चीजें बदलती हैं दुनिया में, आपके मल्टीपल चॉइस क्वेश्चंस के आंसर से कुछ नहीं बदलता है, जो आप सच में कुछ बदल सकते हैं जीवन में उससे देश बदलता है, तो वो व्यवहारिक जमीन पर उतारना बहुत आसान नहीं है और उसमें मैं बहुत चुनौतियां देखता हूँ और उसमें उतना काम नहीं देखता हूँ उन चुनौतियों को बराबर करने का जितना जरूरत है। एक रेवोल्यूशन चाहिए अगर शिक्षा नीति को सच में उतारना है, तो ये अभी सबसे आसान वाला काम हुआ है, इसके बाद है इब्तिदाए मश्क है।
सही बात जी। मिस्टर सोनम, आई हैव अ क्वेश्चन, वी वांट टू अंडरस्टैंड, हम ये जानना चाहते हैं कि आप एक तरफ जो इंक्रोचमेंट की बात कर रहे हैं चाइना का, वो आप विरोध कर रहे हैं, बड़ी खुशी की बात है। हमारे कुछ व्यूअर्स ये जानना चाहते हैं कि आप ये जो इंडस्ट्रीज आ रहे हैं या बड़े उद्योगों को कुछ जमीन दी जा रही है, इसका आप क्यों विरोध कर रहे हैं? ये लोग हमारे जो व्यूअर्स जानना चाहते हैं कि इसका आप क्या क्यों विरोध कर रहे हैं, हो सकता है उससे नौकरी लोगों को आ जाए, या एग्जैक्टली हम चाहते हैं कि आपका इसका दृष्टिकोण क्या है। वी वुड लाइक टू नो व्हाई यू आर अपोज्ड टू दिस इंडस्ट्रीज और पीपल कमिंग एंड बाइंग लैंड।
बहुत अच्छा सवाल किया आपने, थैंक यू कि आपने सवाल किया, क्योंकि बहुत लोगों में ये भ्रम रहता है कि हम या तो उद्योग का विरोध कर रहे हैं या जो बाहर से लोग आएंगे उनका विरोध कर रहे हैं। ऐसा कुछ भी नहीं है। बात यह है कि हम तो उद्योग या किसी चीज के या विकास के विरुद्ध बिल्कुल नहीं है, हम सिर्फ ये कह रहे हैं कि जो विकास हो यहाँ के लोगों से पूछ के हो, उनके समन्वय से हो, यही तो छठवें शेड्यूल का सार है। छठवां शेड्यूल या यूटी विथ लेजिस्लेटिव असेंबली या स्टेटहुड, वो क्या देता है? वो स्थानीय लोगों को अपने फैसले करने का हक देता है। एक तरह से छठवां शेड्यूल एक छोटा स्टेट है, स्टेट में असेंबली है, देश में पार्लियामेंट है, तो शेड्यूल सिक्स के एरिया में एक काउंसिल है जिसमें चुने हुए प्रतिनिधि जो यहीं के जनजातीय लोगों में से, स्थानीय लोगों में से हैं, वो फैसला करते हैं कि क्या आए क्या ना आए। वो चाहे तो उद्योग को बिल्कुल लाएं, वो चाहे तो माइनिंग खनन भी लाएं अगर कुछ हानि नहीं दिखता है उन्हें, और जिनमें हानि दिखता है उनको वो कहेंगे ना इनको ना लाइए, इससे बीमारियां होंगी या लोग मरेंगे या जमीन बिल्कुल बर्बाद हो जाएगी, तो वो रोक सकते हैं। सिर्फ उनके समन्वय से लाइएगा, हम ये कह रहे हैं, क्योंकि यहाँ के लोग अपना भविष्य देखकर फैसला करेंगे। कोई ब्यूरोक्रेट, कोई उपराज्यपाल, वो 3 साल देख के फैसला करेंगे, उसके बाद उन्हें कभी कोई पाला नहीं पड़ेगा लद्दाख से, चाहे गलती करें चाहे बेच दें, उनको कोई पूछेगा भी नहीं। तो यहाँ के लोगों को जब दें ये अधिकार तो वो अपना फैसला खुद करेंगे। यही तर्क था भारत को क्यों आजादी चाहिए थी, वरना तो ब्रिटिश कह रहे थे हम आपको सब कुछ देंगे, विकास देंगे, हमें फैसला करने दीजिए। तो भारत ने ये नहीं माना, हम चाहते थे हम करें, और समस्याएं आए तो वो हमारी समस्याएं होंगी, वो आपकी समस्याएं नहीं होंगी। तो यही यहाँ लद्दाख के लोग भी कहते हैं, जब सरकार हमें ये कहती है कि आपको हमने इतना 6,000 करोड़ साल का दिया, इतना फंड दिया, पहली बात तो वो 6,000 करोड़ में से आधे से ज्यादा वापस चले जाती थी, हालांकि पार्लियामेंट में ये कहा गया था कि ये नॉन लैप्सेबल होंगे, मगर लैप्स होते रहता है। दूसरी बात कि ये जो फंड्स आते हैं इस पे लद्दाख की जनता का लगभग कोई वो नहीं है, निर्णय नहीं है, कोई भी आके कुछ भी फैसला करके चले जाएंगे। तो जब लद्दाख के लोगों को ये संरक्षण दिया जाएगा कि आपकी काउंसिल फैसला करेगी आपको क्या करना है, तो इसमें बुरी बात क्या है? स्थानीय लोग फैसला करें तो इसी को तो अधिकार कहते हैं, वरना सिर्फ डेवलपमेंट या सिर्फ फंड की बात करें वो तो चीन भी दे रहा है, तिब्बत में वो फंड्स ही फंड्स दे रहा है, डेवलपमेंट ला रहा है, तो क्या तिब्बत को ये नहीं कहना चाहिए कि हमें आजादी चाहिए? तो आजादी सबको प्यारी होती है, तो लद्दाख के लोग भी कोई देश से आजादी नहीं कह रहे हैं, फैसलों की आजादी कह रहे हैं, लोकतंत्र की आजादी। तो लोकतंत्र तो लद्दाख को भी उतना ही अधिकार है, उन्होंने क्या गुनाह किया कि देश के साथ खड़े रहे तो आपके पर काट दिए जाएंगे, हाथ काट दिए जाएंगे, आपको कोई और आके चलाएगा, ये भारत को शोभा नहीं देती है। बेसिक डेमोक्रेटिक राइट्स जो लद्दाख मांग रहे। और दूसरी तरफ हम ये कहते हैं कि जहां नाजुक जलवायु है, जहां नाजुक जनजातीय संस्कृति है, उन्हें संरक्षण करने की जरूरत है, सिर्फ दिल्ली से नहीं, पंजाब से नहीं, हरियाणा से नहीं, लद्दाख के लोगों से भी, मुझ जैसे लोगों से भी, जो छोमोरीरी का इकोसिस्टम है उसको बचाने की जरूरत है, लद्दाख को लद्दाख के लोगों से भी बचाने की जरूरत है। जो आर्यन वैली है यहाँ पर, बहुत ही संवेदनशील नाजुक संस्कृति है, उसे मुझसे भी बचाने की जरूरत है। और दूसरी तरफ ऐसे जगह भी हैं जहाँ कोई नाजुक नहीं है, वहां हम कहते हैं कि ऐसे स्ट्रेचेस रखिए जो इकोनॉमिक जोन हो, जहां पर देश भर से लोग निवेश करें, उद्योग भी लगाएं, बल्कि दुनिया से भी लाएं। तो ये कोई नैरो डिविजन्स की बात नहीं, जो नाजुक है उसे बचाएं, जहां नहीं है वहां सबको अधिकार हो, और फिर लोकतंत्र की अधिकार हो, ताकि समन्वय से आप जो भी विकास करें करें, मगर विकास ऐसा नहीं हो कि कोई 2 साल के लिए आके हवाई महल बनाए और उनके जाने के बाद हमें भुगतना पड़े उनके नतीजे उस विनाश के, rather than विकास। तो ऐसा कई हिमालय के क्षेत्रों में हो रहा है, हिमाचल में, उत्तराखंड में, सिक्किम में, जहां लेने के देने पड़ रहे हैं। मैंने पिछले एक अपडेट में ये कहा था कि बहुत से हिमालय प्रदेशों में ये हो रहा है कि शुरू में वो कॉर्पोरेट्स को बहुत बड़े प्रोजेक्ट देते हैं, कॉर्पोरेट उसको लूट के खोद खोद के कमाई कर लेते हैं, उसके बाद फिर दुर्घटना होती है, चाहे वो बाढ़ हो या फ्लैश फ्लड्स हो या अकाल हो, और उस समय पे भुगतना स्थानीय लोगों को पड़ता है और उसका मरम्मत जो है वो फिर टैक्स पेयर के पैसे से किया जाता है। तो ये कैसा मॉडल है जिसमें कॉर्पोरेट्स मुनाफा कमाते हैं, स्थानीय लोग भुगतते हैं नतीजे, और टैक्स पेयर्स उनका भरपाई करते हैं। फिर दोबारा बराबर कभी होता नहीं है, मगर जो भी करते हैं उसका पैसा गवर्नमेंट के टैक्स पेयर से आता है। इस मॉडल से बचना चाहिए पूरे हिमालय को, शायद पूरे भारतवर्ष को।
आपके अभी जो प्रांतीय परिस्थिति है उसमें हाईकोर्ट ऐसा कुछ है या आपको जम्मू कश्मीर जाना होता है, कश्मीर जाकर करना होता है, आपके लिए हाईकोर्ट का कोई योजना है कि नहीं है?
अभी तो बिल्कुल नहीं है, अभी तो जम्मू और कश्मीर के हाईकोर्ट्स में है। एक यहाँ पर बेंच की मांग की जा रही है, सेपरेट बेंच लेह में हो जो सुनवाई करे, उतना तक ही अभी बात चल रही
है। ठीक है,
ओके। I have one question, Sonam ji.
Ramesh, one minute, if you don't mind. Sonam ji, in short, you are saying that the development or administrative should be determined by the local people as done in other parts of the country, so that there is more responsibility and accountability. That is what you are basically saying, that the local people should have a say in the administration, so the long-term interest of the Ladakh region can be protected. I think that because you said this in Hindi, I just wanted to say this, if you are agreeable, that this is what you are saying for the viewers across the globe who are watching our program. So
yes,
you
basically want... six schedule says is not to stop any industry for coming, etc., just to give the decision making to a council of elected representatives who can then decide what kind of development to allow and what not to. So it's not to say no to development, but to give the decision to the local indigenous people.
Right, absolutely. Jagdish, I was about to say the same thing.
In Karnataka High Court, I'm fighting exactly this for the Kodavas, the Kurgis, who...
Poor people, Kodavaland.
Kodavaland, same exactly what is Schedule 6 he was talking about. And I think he has a very fine point on that, and I think we should start pressing for that immediately.
So, one more question, Mr. Sonam.
Jagdish ji, just quickly. So, Jagdish ji, I'm just accepting and going by the extension of what he just said. So, the people of Ladakh today are getting regulated without any representation. Yeah. They are being. This is exactly the situation that is going on with the people there. All resources are getting exploited where the local people are not consulted. Their rights are being not duly given to them, but others are making decisions on behalf of them who are not Ladakhis sitting in Delhi. It is a very sad situation. Dr. Swami, have you seen this kind of a precedence before? And what is the typical way out for people like, how do they gain these rights, Dr. Swami?
Again, they absolutely, the Parliament of India can pass an act. You see, they are already committed. The government. I was present when the when we in August of 3-4 years ago we removed that Article 370. Mm-hmm. At that time, it was there, and it is happening in other places. It's you go to Northeast, how many of these hill station hill. States, they have an independent
council.
Yes, council. And I'm fighting, I told you, in Karnataka for the Kodavas.
Correct, Kodava Council. So
this is something that can be done, and it's all you have to do is not, they don't have to do anything. We have to get the people in Delhi to wake up. And certainly, let us get a group of people, let's draw up a petition. And then take it up, and if necessary, go even to the Supreme Court to say a direction should be to do it, because this is something that is there in the Constitution.
Sonamji, you wanted to say something.
Just that there are two small councils, but these councils have no lawmaking rights, like in Sikhs you do.
Point. Yeah, absolutely.
Knowing that, knowing all this, they had promised we'll give you Sikh schedule in two elections. Now they're saying we'll empower your council. Well, if you were to do that, why would you win two elections saying Sikh schedule will be given, right? So this is only because they promised that we are making them a little bit accountable to what they have said. And these two councils, by the way, I've seen in many newspapers or in some videos, the government side saying, you know, they have 52 elected councillors in these two councils. But more than numbers, let me tell you that of that 6,000 crore budget, only 10% goes to these two councils. So 52 people decide about 10%. One person decides about 90% of the budget. Now that's not democracy.
Right.
You are referring to the...
Basically, you're saying...
Mr. Okay. Sonam, you are referring to the Kargil... one council is the Kargil
Hill Council and Leh Hill Council. So there are the two councils. Hill councils, which are not six scheduled councils. They don't have any lawmaking powers. And they are given arms and terms to spend. Nothing about what happens to Ladakh is given to them.
So basically, yeah, you're saying that whatever you're doing in Kodava Council can be extended to Ladakh. Basically, your fight, it is the same.
Yeah,
the PIL can be filed at the Supreme Court.
You have to, if I have to do it by the courts, that's why I asked about the court. And I think this is a matter which can go to the Supreme Court. But that is another issue. See, the thing is, we have got to shame the government for not keeping
promise
that they made to Parliament in that, that period when we removed Article 370. This is a betrayal. Second, we have an urgency that there is a
aggressor,
a dragon which is coming across the hills, which can exploit it. We need the people of Ladakh, for example, to support our integrity of our country. So many factors that we will in these coming months or even less. Set up a committee of ourselves and draw up a kind of a proposal, and then push for it in the way I've done it in other places. What am I doing for temples in various places? You see,
correct. It's an extension. It's just a larger scale.
Constitution has power to get all this done, but it requires some amount of research to be done. And I think we'll be in touch with Sonam ji. And we'll see that we'll have a multi-pronged attack on the government through the courts and direct. So,
if there is a chance, Dr. Swami, you should visit Ladakh and Leh.
Yeah, I'd love to. I nearly went the other day, but then I was held up by a court case here. Certainly, I will come after now. Now that I've heard Sonam ji, I think I must do something then go. Instead of just going there and making promises.
Okay.
Mr. Sonamji, before our Arvind Chaturvedi winds up the program, Sonamji, we want to ask you whether you have, because this is viewed across India and across the globe, if you have anything further to say on your movement which you are doing, any views of yours you want to complete saying it before we wind up the program.
Yeah, I always try to say that this issue that we are taking up is not an issue for people who live in Ladakh. It's an issue for the whole nation for two reasons. The ecology of this place affects entire North India. The glaciers in the Hindu Kush Himalayas feeds roughly 2 billion people, one-fourth of the planet's population, mostly in the northern part of the Indian subcontinent. Secondly, apart from ecology, it's an issue of truth, truth and character. If you promise, then you must deliver and set a good example for the nation. On one hand, ek taraf hum Shri Ram ke mandir banate hain, to dusri taraf unke adarshon par bhi chalna chahiye, jo main har samay yaad dilata hun, raghukul reeti sada chali aaye, pran jaye par vachan na jaye. तो इस पर चल के दिखाएं तो फिर राम की भक्ति ज्यादा दिखेगी। और यही मैं उम्मीद करता हूं हमारे सरकार से, हमारे नेतागण से, कि वो देश के लिए एक ऐसा उदाहरण जरूर स्थापित करें। नहीं करेंगे तो उदाहरण फिर भी स्थापित होगा मगर उल्टा उदाहरण होगा। वादे कीजिए, पूरा करने की कोई जरूरत नहीं होती। तो इंडस्ट्रीज भी जो MOUs करते हैं उनको वो ठुकरा देंगे और देश में उथल पुथल होगा, अंधकार होगा। और विदेश के लोग तो भारत के साथ MOUs में एंटर भी नहीं होंगे, इनके यहाँ कोई चरित्र नहीं है, कोई सच्चाई, कोई वादों का वो नहीं होता है, तो हम इधर क्यों रिस्क लेंगे। तो ये पूरे भारत के लिए, क्योंकि मैं हमेशा कहता हूँ कि भारत में हर चीज है, मिनरल्स से लेके हर रिसोर्सेस तक। अगर कम हुई है तो वो ट्रस्ट डेफिसिट इज द बिगेस्ट शॉर्टेज इन इंडिया। सो आवर लीडर्स शुड सेट गुड एग्जांपल्स फॉर दैट।
राम से तो सरकार ने नहीं किया, हमने पिटीशन
करेक्ट
पिटीशन डालकर आपके लिए भी कर सकते हैं।
One more thing, Sonanji, I'd like to add. You added one and two points. I'd like to add the third point is integrity of the nation, the borders.
Yes.
What Dr. Swami, in the past 2 days, the Home Minister has been running around and spewing lies saying that not even 1 inch of land was lost. But what we heard today, what we heard today from Sonamji, from the people there, earlier it was salami slicing. Now it is no more slicing. It is chunk. Big chunks are being taken. This obviously shows that the center has no clue. Either they have the clue or they don't even care for what is happening in the borders of Ladakh.
No, they're too afraid of the truth.
And Ramesh,
I know for a fact that the military generals have told me exactly what Sonamji said. They have told me the same thing, that they are inching every day and we have no policy. So that's another matter. But I think right now we are only considering how to see that the life of the Ladakhis improve by governmental action. The other thing is in another forum.
Finally, I would repeat what I said in the beginning. Either these paramilitary agencies that are supposed to secure the borders should be given exclusive job of only the borders and nothing internal, you know, political rivalries to break other leaders and movements and so on, which is what they are busy with and are ignoring their duty over the borders. Either that should be stopped or these agencies should be handed over to pure defense, Ministry of Defense, and not Ministry of Home Affairs.
Agreed. It should be the defense ministry.
Yeah. Another thing we have noticed is in the course of the talk, Ramesh, you referred to what the Home Minister has been saying about the borders. Mm. What we have noticed is the arrogance of the Home Minister to say, Pradhan Mantri bhi kahe to hum election nahi karenge. This is for the Prime Minister and the party to understand that who is running the country, the Prime Minister or the Home Minister. See the type of arrogance. Pradhan Mantri bhi kahenge to hum election nahi karenge. This type of attitude is not acceptable in a democratic setup. The Prime Minister, we may agree or not agree with him, but his verdict, this man is ready to upset. He says Pradhan Mantri bhi kahenge. This only shows, as we are saying, the defense minister should be effective on the border. The tricks played by the Home Minister, whether it is in Ladakh or in the country, is a reflection of the poor state of affairs.
Barabar hai.
Arvind, it's more than an hour. It's past 9 o'clock. So
yeah.
We'll have to have another session after about 2-3 weeks after we have something has happened. Then we'll have him come again.
Yes,
and in the meantime, we can also have an interview with his wife, who seems to be very well educated.
No, very soon we'll be doing that to know about the tradition and culture of Ladakh.
Okay.
Thank you, Mr. Sonam Wangchuk, for today's program. You spared time for our viewers to know the reality. In fact, the title of this program is to know the reality of Ladakh at the border situation, and none but you only could have described this. you people know very little about Ladakh. It is in one corner of the country. Not many people have so much information about Ladakh, and therefore the words of wisdom Gyan Ganga always wanted to bring to the highlight this issue. And I'm glad and thankful to you that for sparing time for our viewers and describing in details not only what is going on in Ladakh, what exactly is the objective of your movement, and what exactly you demand, whether it is the self-rights, whether it is the self-governance, and whether it is the election at the right time. And people should get the right, and Mr. Jagdish Shetty's question when you answered, you also clarified that there are some misconceptions about your movement, that also you clarified, that you're not against development, you're not against people coming there, you're not against setting up industry. Thank you very much for highlighting all these so that our viewers now know the reality of the life in Ladakh. And as Dr. Swami said, he is ready to undertake this cause at a legal level, at whatever help that is provided, that is possible. He will lead and support this movement and the cause of the Ladakhi people. Thank you very much. Thank you, Dr. Swami. In fact, we also touched upon the Chinese issue, and Mr. Sonam Bangchi confirmed that when Dr. Swami has been saying for ages that 4,056 square kilometer and more, he said it could be even more, which the Chinese have captured. And this is a big issue. I mean, it concerns everybody in India, and this also should be taken up. And Dr. Swami's questions in Parliament were not answered on this. Dr. Swami went to the right to information section for information. Even then, the information was not given. He has now approached the commissioner, and soon the white paper kind of information will come, and this will be known. Thank you very much, Mr. Wangchuk, for describing it to our viewers, the reality of Ladakh. Thank you. Thank you, Jagdish. Thank you, Ramesh. This is a very important program. And thanks the technical team led by Ashish Shetty, Gadgi Rakesh, Ishwar Iyer, Swaminathan, Tejas Navalgul, Vishal Mehta, Gurdat Shetty, and Ajesh Nair. Like this, we conduct this program every Sunday, 8 o'clock Indian Standard Time. And Dr. Swami and guests discuss the national issues and international issues too. Next Sunday, again, we'll be meeting 8 o'clock Indian Standard Time with Dr. Subramanian Swami with a new topic. Till then, viewers, namaskar, Jai Hind.
Jai Hind.